Word of God tells us that we are to pray one for another. And it's in the book of James for a good reason for us to apply what the Word of God says with regard to the trials and the tests that we all go through. And it's important that we hold one another up, particularly when we go through these physical trials, and we're told to pray one for another and to intercede and to supplicate as the Spirit leads. So I trust that we will do that for our sister and that God will be gracious and merciful, and that in our prayers for her, that whatever God is saying or communicating in whatever way or form, every knee will be bowed in the presence of God in absolute humility. We all wait to hear what God says. Sometimes we don't know what the hindrances are, but we have been taught and we have learnt to ask in prayer, in faith, without wavering. And many times our prayers and asking in faith is to inquire, is there anything that hinders, anything that is stopping my healing from taking place? And our Heavenly Father, who loves us, He will always go to the root of every situation. I apply that principle to myself, the same through this trial that I've gone through, because outwardly I needed antibiotics. I've been quite poorly. But I bowed the knee in humility, in brokenness, and ask, is there anything I am not seeing? Anything that I have done, or whatever it would be, that's opened the door? And you know that there can be some things, but you wait to hear. And if you don't hear, then you just look to the greatness of God, that all things are possible with Him. That is walking by faith. It is very easy just to mouth off scriptures. I'm in faith. I'm trusting God, and so forth. I'm afraid we've seen too many who are no longer with us, who had that understanding. I'm not saying that they're not in glory. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is how we overcome in this life, in this world, and what the Holy Spirit requires of us. And He certainly requires each of us that we come daily with bowed knees before His presence, and that whatever trials and tests we go through, and we go through many, that God will be gracious, and that if I'm not seeing what I should be seeing, then open my eyes, as King David prayed, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He was searching his heart before God. And when a saint does that and has that heart, that unction, that zeal about them, to bow that knee in complete humility, in actual fact, the Greek presents it as actually groveling. Now, none of us would ever think about grovelling. That is just taking it too far. But that is giving the idea of desperation when in the depths of a trial, and particularly a physical trial, I grovelled before God. Because either I go to the arm of the flesh and I take the antibiotics, or God is true to his word and he will raise me up, because by his stripes I'm healed. And after I'd done that, that peace, that assurance that God had heard me, I knew it in the heart. And that means more to you than anything when you know your Father has heard. And that's why I want to pass this on. You see, I'm not exempt from going through trials. They're very real, the same as yours are. And particularly when it's a physical, and how vocal the enemy becomes, how he tries to confuse you and twist the word of God. But here we are. We have a meeting today. God has raised me up. He wants me here to teach the word of God with you. And I believe we're in for a blessed time. Hallelujah. Let's commit this time before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meeting. We thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. And Father, we are so blessed by the way you are speaking to us. You are revealing the Father's heart. Lord, may each of us embrace this word now for your glory, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like today to talk about idols. The title for this teaching today, Idols Are Deceptive. Idols are deceptive. And we're going to look at one simple little verse that probably most of us have missed. I'm not sure many would have this underlined in the Bible, but nevertheless, it's there. And it says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, it says here, as he closes this epistle, he says, little children, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from idols. He's already spoken about how God has loved the world. He's exposed the wicked one. And he speaks that the Son has come to give us understanding, that we might know him through the Spirit. And he's saying within all of that, little children, keep yourself from idols. Why is the stress on that? Because it was idolatry that destroyed the children of Israel. They never made it into the kingdom of God. They perished in the wilderness because their hearts were still lusting for the world. We know the story of Lot and his family, how that the angel virtually had to drag them out of those wicked cities. And the angel said, none of you look back, but go forward. There is a type of sign of looking, seeking first the kingdom of God. But Lot's wife, she turned back and immediately turned into a pillar of salt. Those stories are recorded there for our admonition. They're there as a warning to help us, to teach us, so that we can get our eyes and heart totally right upon God. You see, the idea of idols means that we replace our love and affection for the object we wish to own. We submit to it, we'll worship it. But behind all of these things that we place our love and affection on, often there lies a demon behind it. And that is why it's so pernicious, deadly. Because idolatry is about spiritual warfare. Idolatry is about demons. Idols in nature are godlike. We like idols because it's something bigger and greater and more powerful than us. That is our attraction towards idols. We want something that will give us a break, or stimulate us, or make us feel good, or different, or whatever it is. And these idols know exactly how to feed the flesh. And very often what is attached behind it is pride. This is why God says in the commandments, you will have no other idols except God himself. So the nature of demons are then to lie. They seduce. They beguile us. And we find that very shortly, when we are giving in to idols, we find our eyes upon Jesus is not focused as it should. And do you know why? Because God says you cannot have two idols in your life. You cannot have two thrones in your life. There can only be one, and that is Almighty God, through the new nature, the new birth that he has given to us. He will not in any way share his love, his relationship, his affection, anything of himself. He will have nothing to do with idols. We know from the book of Revelation what God is going to do when he judges the world and the vials and the seals open. They are going to be supernatural judgments falling on the world. What is that all about? God is going to destroy all idols. He's going to cast them down. Everything that is being built today in rebellion is in idolatry. You see, they tried to build the Tower of Babel. There was idolatry, trying to get to God, to be like God. And God cast it down. We are seeing again a type of Babel. being built again through Mystery Babylon. And we see now it's being built through technology. Its idols will always control you. That is the nature of them. And this is why they will introduce the mark of the beast, which is a control. Many will see it as a good thing. I can do my own thing. And all my details, my everything about me is in that chip. They see it as a good thing of being hybridized with technology. All of it comes with a price. Control. And the word shows us those who take of that will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. This is why many now are speaking out on these issues. And you can be well assured that you are not always popular with regard to what you say on these things. But like all things, there is a remnant who will hear, who will respond. So, let's look at idolatry that can work in relationships. You see, I've already said that idols come in many ways and forms and shapes. One of the ways that idolatry will work is with regard to relationships. Why do they work with relationships? Because most have a broken relationship with God. So because man's relationship is broken with God, he's vulnerable. Because something has got to fill that void, that area that is within each of us. And that is where God is. That's his place. That's his space. But we only know that as Christians because God's opened our eyes and his heart to that. But most of the world are attacked in idolatry with regard to relationships. You see, Jesus never fell for this problem. Even his temptation in the wilderness, he never fell for this idolatry that the enemy tried to come at with him. Let's turn to John chapter 2, verses 24-25. John chapter 2, 24-25. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So Jesus loved the people, but he knew what was in them. What was he talking about here? He was talking about idolatry. They're idolatrous. He would have no part of that. He could not associate with that. And yet he never rejected those who came to him or wherever he taught. So we see then that there is a balance that God has to work with us. We should not be around people who are idolatrous. And many, many people are. This is why I'm speaking about idolatry in connection with relationships. You see, God is delivering us from this misconception of false impressions with the result of false judgments and deceptions. You see, we're being delivered from all of this. In other words, we're beguiled by idols. They're false impressions. We are being delivered from being taken in, which is a lie. We do it with our own family. We do it with our friends, and at times we're not even aware what we're doing, how we are elevating them into a position that God doesn't want us to put them in. But not only that, when it beguiles us like it does, we can't pray effectively for them. We cannot intercede. We cannot believe for the salvation of their souls if we have idolatry attached to our heart with regard to our families. And I bring that one up because I believe in household salvation. The Word of God is absolutely clear. We can believe for the salvation of our family, our loved ones. But our prayers are going to go no higher than the ceiling if you have with that idolatry attached to your heart. And this is why God is delivering us from these mindsets, because so often idols are attached behind them. In the case of our relationships, God is bringing us to a point where we see people as they really are, without any criticism, bitterness, being cynical. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about where we're allowing God to take us to a place so that he opens our eyes to the idolatry that they may be in. Could be your husband, your wife, whatever it will be. And at the right time, he'll open your eyes. Not that you become critical and argumentative with them or whatever, but that you can simply pray God's mercy on them and you are delivered so that your prayers can now reach the throne room of God unhindered. You see, many of the things that inflict us and vex us is that we suffer from this illusion that we're not true to one another, seeing each other as we really are. We've got these wrong ideas of a person or the object of someone we love. Be very careful about objects that you love. There's nothing wrong in loving them. It could be a car, it can be your hobby, your home, your job, whatever it is. These are all things that are part of the world. But be careful about your affections, your heart towards it. Because behind every idol, there is a demon. And so God is going to open our eyes if we want him to. And this is why he's addressing this teaching today, because he's seeing that we have need of going before the Lord and having our eyes opened for the purpose that our prayers, intercessions, can go unhindered before the mercy seat of God. You see, so often God is delivering us. This is why the deeper life in the spirit and what we preach is in nature about deliverance. If we feel after a meeting and we've heard the word under the anointing that it's not worked, deliverance, a change in my mind and thinking, then something is not right. We're told that faith comes by hearing, hearing this word. And it's the word of God that brings that deliverance. And often the healing and deliverance has to start first in the mind. It is closing the doors to the mind where the enemy has had access. And this is why the word of God tells us that we're to put on the mind of Christ. It's like the Greek shows us, it's like putting on a cloak. And so it means that a cloak goes on, it comes off, it goes on, it comes off, because a cloak is for going out, is for travelling, for weather and various things like that. So it means exactly the same, that we put on the mind of Christ so that the mind can be renewed by the word that we hear under the anointing that brings deliverance. And a lot of our deliverance, brothers and sisters, is dealing with idols. We just do not realize how idolatrous we still can be. But God is merciful and gracious, and he's working with us day and night and never gives up on us. And that's why I thank him so much. You see, in our mind and thinking, everything is either good, lovely, bad, or evil. That's how we think. That's how the wisdom of this world thinks. But much human suffering with Christians is refusal to be set free from this idea of idols and sins. We are deceived by them, and we hold on to them. Now, why is that a problem? Because that demon or demons of idolatry that you have been holding on to maybe all your life or best part of your life, that idol has said, that is you. That is your makeup. That is your personality. That is your character. Oh yes, that sounds very familiar. And that is why I don't have too much faith in psychology, because psychology cannot discern a demon behind idols. The Lord goes deeper than that. The Lord works deliverance in our heart where we come to that place where we realize this has got nothing to do about my character. This has got nothing to do about my past. This has got nothing to do about my mother was like this or my father was like this. This is idols that is working that I have become dependent on. And I've allowed myself to be deceived by this. You see, when the Holy Spirit touches on this, do not suppress this. Do not push it away. You may never ever get another chance. This is deliverance coming your way. So this is why in relationships we love someone more than God. We demand total perfection and righteousness from that person. When we don't get what we want from them, then we find, because they're not performing as I want them to be, we become cruel, vindictive, and devious. And this is one of the major problems in marriages. And the enemy works overtime, because so many marriages are based on idolatry. I have made my husband an idol. I've made my wife an idol. And when that idol doesn't perform and function as it should, then we become cruel, divisive, vindictive. You see, God is going to open your eyes and my eyes. No human being can be that perfect. Only the Lord can fulfill the depths of that perfection that your heart is crying out for. But you are still looking to man to fill that, and it will never happen. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the one perfection who has come into your life, recreating his nature in you, making you new in him. It's interesting that animals don't have this, but humans do. That is why an animal, if you scold them, very often will come back. They don't hold bitterness, resentment, unlike human beings. So you see, God knows that human relationships that is not based on faithfulness to him will end in complete disaster. And that is why in marriage, and particularly in Christian marriage, your marriage has to be totally centered upon Christ. Both in agreement. Both drawing from the perfection of Christ in relationship with him. Do not draw it from your wife or your husband, because you will come unstuck. They will let you down. That idol will eventually let you down, but it's done its damage. And that's the problem, because you allowed it to continue. When God exposes idols, we have to deal with it, and we go before God in prayer and get that deliverance. And this is why, as I bring this to a conclusion, that Jesus trusted no one and never placed his faith in people, yet he never rejected or was suspicious or hateful toward them. Jesus trusted his Father, his grace, and what he could do for his people through him. He never gave up on that in despair or whatever. He ever drew the power of his Father by the Spirit through him, reaching out to a dying world. And yet he never got caught up with them either. Idols will hold you in relationships that are not based on Jesus. And that's why many times we can become discouraged, depressed, nothing seems to go right for me, or whatever it would be. It's because we've taken our eyes off the Lord and we're now looking to idols. This is why so often we hear, don't we? And we hear it in prophecy where God says, keep your eyes upon the Lord. Look straight ahead of you. Walk that path that he is walking. How many times have we heard that over the years? There is a reason why God reiterates that over and over, because he's dealing with idolatry. And finally, let's read Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21. Revelation 9, verse 20, 21. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. There we are. In the heart of judgment, the greatest judgment that the world will ever see, do they repent of their idols? No. Why is that? Because those idols have become God to them. That's why. So can we see, brothers and sisters, why God at times is firm with us? Because he loves us like any father, but he's warning us of the plague of idolatry. We now live in the most idolatrous generation that has ever existed on the planet. It is everywhere and around us. And we need the blood of Jesus to overcome, and the word of our testimony and the walk of faith, keeping our eyes upon Christ, taking our cross up crosses daily and following him. That is what's going to deliver us, keep us free from the deceptions that lie behind these idols. And as I said at the beginning, behind every idol, there is a demon. And remember, those demons are far more powerful, clever, cunning than you are or I am. But the good news is, there is one who has overcome them all, and his name is Jesus. And that is why we triumph in him. That's why you're called an overcomer, because you have been called to overcome all the idols of this world. And in Jesus' name, we will do it by his grace and mercy.